I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Time to join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, for our weekly rendezvous. Today he speaks to us of the afterlife at the time of the Romans.
Father, I'd like to begin by asking you a question. Who was the mythical ferryman the Romans believe took them across the river Styx to the underworld?
Yeah, Charon. Charon. He's on the back wall of the Sistine Chapel. You ever seen that? And he has his bolt there, and he has a big stick that he's using to propel his boat. Charon, C-H-A-R-O-N.
So the river Styx was a mythical river.
Yeah, the underworld, Styx.
Mm. How do you say underworld in Latin?
Is it inferorum? Inferorum. Inferorum of hell or the underworld?
Inferi. Inferi in Italian means...
Really hell or the lower parts.
I believe that one of the things the Romans did, because they used to put a coin in dying people's mouths to pay the fee for Charon. Is it just a story?
Yeah, sounds like a story. The Romans were not disturbed by this whole thing of death as we are today.
But they had burials, though.
Ceremonies. Even Cicero talks about his father dying. He says, Pater decessit. Daddy died last week, and he goes on to something else. I mean, they didn't have this obsession with death as we do. It was just part of things, boo.
But they have left us elaborate tombs, though.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Which is indicative that they did somehow...
Okay, they respected the person, and... I don't know about the future or not, that's another story. But
at any rate, they had these funerals with processions. You know what I discovered is that cypress trees that you see in cemeteries, they were indicative in Roman times... Of immortality. And they used to have them at funerals. How do you say cypress? Tree?
And cypresses. It's Greek, really.
Mm. It was part of Greek
heritage.
Really,
the idea was... Yeah.
More prosaically. How do you say undertaker in...
Vespilio.
They did exist, undertakers.
Vespilio, certainly they had.
Another thing I read was that during the funeral procession, the dead person was placed in a sort of lifelike position in a litter. Well, obviously when it was a rich, wealthy person, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, like on a stretcher or a thing there. Mm. Like sitting up.
You mentioned Cicero as saying, well, daddy died, right? But they did have this procession. They did eat, and they have banquets before and after.
Some, not all. I mean, some people just kind of disappeared. This didn't happen every single day or with every single family. Mm. Heaven's sakes, no.
It's just not right. But there was a speech, and then afterwards they were cremated.
Hmm.
Is that right?
Well, that's based like on the whole thing with Julius Caesar.
That is to say?
Yeah, I mean, Mark Antony's speech and the cremation of Caesar and all that. But, I mean, for normal people, that wasn't the case.
And the speech was in the Roman Forum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where they went for the
speech? Well, yeah, the procession was going through the Forum.
Why through the Forum?
Well, it was just like a public parade, which was really illegal. They weren't supposed to do it. But they wanted to show off Caesar. They had him, like, in a stretcher, like in a litter. And they wanted to show him off. His followers did. And so they marched into the Forum, and then someone grabbed a firebrand and threw it into this thing, and they started a fire, and that's how he was cremated in the Forum, which, again, was against the law.
Why was it against the law?
Well, you couldn't bury or cremate in the city.
Outside the city walls, it had to happen.
Yes, for fire or health reasons.
Well, hygiene, obviously, because Rome was very crowded in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how you get the catacombs outside the walls.
The catacombs, well, the Christians were buried in the catacombs,
though,
no?
Oh, Romans, too. I mean, all kinds of Romans out there, too.
Not just Christians.
I mean, all of the whole Via Appia, for 10, 15 miles, were all tombs, with these cypress trees around them. Mm-hmm. But that's all outside the city.
We see them in depictions by Piranesi, in etchings, no?
Oh, yeah. You can go out there even today and see them.
I read somewhere that some of the better-off people were placed to rest in niches in these urns, in sort of dovecotes. What were they called?
Columbarium.
What's the reason for them to be called columbaria? Because they look like...
Well, yeah, exactly. Look like a whole colony of doves. Each one would have its own little place there.
That was all underground?
The ones we have are underground. Yes, because like on the Via Appia.
But they used to be also above ground then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only Styx that went to the underworld, the actual bodies. The river Styx.
Carry I like it, Styx.
You like it?
I like the whole, yeah, Stygem. Ad Stygem. Send this man to Stygem. Send him to the Styx River. I sent him to hell, got the idea.
But the poor didn't have the privilege of having a proper burial. They were just shoveled under, no? How would you say shoveled under the Esquiline Hill?
Oh, no, de fodiebantur.
This whole concept of outside the walls was a big thing in Roman times, wasn't it?
What do you mean outside the walls?
Outside the city walls.
Well, that was the law from way, way back, from 500 BC. No. 350 BC, you couldn't bury or cremate within the walls. So the first emperor was really a Trajan, which is 110, 117 after Christ, which means the rule applied with no exceptions for almost 500 years.
A huge thank you there to our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite father, Reginald Foster, and he's currently working in the Vatican as the Pope's own Latinist. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.